Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for a special short. We're off positional reviews. We're off coaching for a moment. Today, we're going to talk about the future of Marlon Humphrey and what I believe is a fairly complex problem for the Baltimore Ravens. Joining me to do that is Andrew Ganzis. Ganzis like Kansas, I'm told. He's a Reddit user. Andrew, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you, Ken. My username on Reddit is OKManufacturer9572. Excited to talk with you today. Happy to be here.
All right. Outstanding. Thanks for coming, Andrew. And Andrew put together way more than I ever asked for in terms of how people develop what they want to talk about in advance. But it's extremely well done. And I want to just let you kind of start the discussion off talking about Marlon's current contract and where it stands.
Yeah. So in 2020, Marlon Humphrey signed a five-year, $97.5 million rookie extension. Totaling $67.32 million in total guarantees. 2026, he's getting a base salary of $15.25 million, but the cap hit is $26.276 million at this time. All of that is in relation to how his salary has been restructured to kind of kick the can down the road. So, we can sign more players in Lamar Jackson's pivotal time as a team. Where we're at presently.
All good points. And by the way, this is something that comes up very regularly with people is they complain about Marlon Humphrey's cap hit as opposed to what you can save by cutting him. And the amount you can save by cutting him, and we're talking the pre-June 1 cut, which means you get the least value out of it. I want to talk that one accounting basis as we go through this show, because I don't think it's worth bringing up multiple accounting bases when there's very minimal difference between the two over a two-year period. The pre-June 1 amount they can save is only about $7.4 million. And that amount is all they need to consider in terms of whether they keep Marlon Humphrey for 2026 or not. Is he worth that amount? And they have other options they go into, but in just a street keep or don't keep, it's $7.3 million versus what he otherwise would cost to replace at that position and whether or not that represents a value.
I honestly think in terms of keeping Marlon Humphrey, there's more positives for nature of keeping Marlon Humphrey than cutting him pre-June 1. Marlon mentioned on his podcast on the 14th of January that he said that he likes to ask questions and ask EDC his status of him being a Raven next season. And ED said, he said that he likes his percentage of being a Raven, which you like to hear as a fan, if you like Marlon Humphrey and his tenure as a Raven. The other debacle we have to kind of address with Marlon Humphrey is both him and Nate Wiggins gave up a lot of yards and coverage in 2025. The two top corners are Marlon Humphrey giving up 831 yards in coverage, and number two being Nate Wiggins being 810 yards. With both of them having this big of a change from 2024 to 2025, with 2024 being Marlon Humphrey's all-pro season, you have to really look at the defensive schematic of not having a pass rush or interior pressure resulting from the loss of Nnamdi Matabike. And see how that kind of trickled down into the overload in the secondary with Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins have to work overtime.
Kind of think we have multiple things to look at with that. And we absolutely talked about the cornerback review, and I'm still very positive on Wiggins. He's got to be the guy going forward. That is the mainstay in the cornerback room, because they just don't have any other really young corners they can count on at this point. And also Wiggins had a pretty good year coverage wise and was traveling some of the year to cover some number one receivers. Marlon's year was undeniably awful at cornerback, and he moved from slot back to the outside, which I don't want to steal your thunder if you're planning to talk about that, and had the single worst coverage grade among all of the cornerbacks in the NFL via PFF that played at least 50% of the snaps.
Yeah. Going off of that, I mean, 2024, he got his second best mark of his career being more so in the slot. 2024, he had around 500 slot snaps. which is over 61% of his snaps, and 316 snaps on the perimeter, which is around 39%. And then this 2025 season basically is flipped on its head. So 33% of his snaps were in the slot, 50% were on the outside, and the remainder were in the box as a linebacker. I would attribute more of this towards the beginning of the year, where they're kind of experimenting a little bit where Trenton Simpson was fitting. So they're trying to figure out where Marlon Humphrey fit to the equation of being in the box versus slot.
Okay, so I'll have an additional word of caution on PFF detailed positions, is that it's position at the snap. So if a player is in motion, a cornerback will often be listed as a linebacker when they're not. They're just following a receiver in motion. So it doesn't capture responsibilities well. But the slot and outside are going to be pretty darn good. But when they're used as a linebacker, you can pretty much throw those snaps out. He was never used as a linebacker in terms of responsibilities. He was motioning through the interior of the formation as the ball was snapped.
Great clarification there, and I appreciate that. I mean, I'd like to see Marlon used more in the slot in his primary role, because he excels in that role. I'd like to see them either continue to develop somebody like TJ Tampa, who they drafted in the third round, along with Nate Wiggins in that same draft class, fourth round in that same draft class. But they also could resign somebody like Chidobe Awuzie, who really had a solid 2025 season on the perimeter, which I think would be a great move for them as well.
How much would you be willing to pay Awuzie? I think is one of the legitimate questions there. You mean AAV over, say, maybe a 3-year contract would be still reasonable now?
I personally think they should do something similar to what they offered Arthur Mollett over 2 years. I think it was like 10 to 15 per year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, for Arthur Mollett, it would have been a lot lower. Arthur Mollett signed for about $2 to $3 million per year on his last deal. But if you, are you really willing to go to $10 million on a Awuzie?
I think based on his usage, I think he'd make a solid outside corner, and what we used him for in 2025, I think him being more of a press corner and using more of his skill set in that regard, I think that would be a good thing to go off of for next season.
Okay. Mollett made about $5 million over 2 years.
Oh, wow.
With the
Ravens. I didn't realize that was such a big discrepancy there.
And he had, there was, that may include, so he came in for a year. I think his first year with the team, he was just a vet min guy.
Yeah.
And they brought him in. And then he had a 2-year contract that was terminated early.
I think he got injured second year.
Yeah, you're 100% right. But they paid him $4 million of maybe about $5 or $5.5 million on a 2-year deal. They ended up paying him in that second year. So if I've got that correct, in 2024, he made a significant amount of money. But if I think the amount has to be lower for Awuzie, and I know he can make some money around the league, but my guess is he'll sign for, you know, 3 for 21, 3 for 18 somewhere. Mm-hmm. Particularly being at a little bit older player, he's there'll be some questions about wanting to give him a deal that long. He might end up getting 2 for 10, maybe the best he's got anywhere in the league. In which case, I hope the Ravens are the one to do it. I wouldn't go as high as $10 million for him. I'll just say that.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate that. You're more familiar with the average contracts per corner than I am, so I appreciate the reflection in that regard and where you see him standing. The other option that I could see Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens moving with Marlon Humphrey on in 2026, is moving him to safety. I mean, we have two pending free agents at safety, both Aloe Gilman and Ardarius Washington. We know Ardarius Washington is coming off an Achilles injury, which is typically a 2-year recovery. Ardarius Washington was basically rushed back from an Achilles injury and had some small snaps and usage towards the end of this previous season. Gilman struggled a lot with tackling when he first came from the Chargers, but then slowly came on towards the end of the season. But also, Marlon's tackling didn't look great at the end of the year. We're not sure if this is a result of his hand injury that was nagging and not being as physical. But the positives of moving Marlon to safety would make Kyle Hamilton be that free roamer around the box and put him in the box and have him being blitzing off the edge and increasing his utility. But if we move Marlon back to safety, we also open up an outside corner and slot position. On the roster, there's TJ Tampa, Keon Martin, Longer Beam, and Kone. And we also know Longer Beam's coming off of a patellar tendon injury and Kone's multi-ligament knee. So not sure on their status for this upcoming season. As we kind of talked about, I'd personally love to extend Chidobe Awuzie if we move Marlon back. That's just sort of my preference, but a little bit of discrepancy on how much we pay him based on the value. But
okay, so mostly you talked about what the need is there when you're looking at these other players, if I'm getting that correct. So yes. You're looking at who we have at outside corner and can we really afford to move Marlon? And you're also looking at the safeties with Gilman and Washington and saying, is Humphrey a better option than those two guys? Where do you fall in on, I think the actual, the key player here, because he's the most versatile, is Washington, as opposed to Gilman, who I think is quite likely to be walking. But with Washington, where do you fit in on him? Do you have an idea of what kind of contract you'd like to get him for? Maybe just qualitatively. Are you a one-year prove-it deal? Are you willing to give him, say, 2 years right now? What do you got?
I'd like to try to see Ardarius Washington at a one-year prove-it deal, especially coming off of the Achilles injury. But I think he had a Twitter reaction to the Ravens signing him for a pretty minimum deal after last season. I think we had him on for around $3 million. So it seems like he was frustrated with the one-year deal and felt like he deserved more. But I think coming off of the Achilles injuries from a business perspective, I think giving him a one-year prove-it deal would be best. I think that him being more of a strong safety and hard-hitting role and then having Malachi as more of the free-roaming ball hawk guy suits the Ravens better as opposed to having Gilman in that role. I would agree with you that I'd prefer Washington over Gilman in that sense.
Okay, and I think I'm in the same place, and particularly when it comes to after price is considered. One thing that we haven't talked about much, Ricard got the veteran salary benefit last year from the Ravens, which allows them to pay him an extra $1.5 million above a vet minimum contract and have that not count against the cap. And Ardarius Washington, because of his service time with the Ravens now, is eligible to be treated in that way. So they have up to two players they can split a fixed total amount among, and that total amount is about $1.5 million. So it's quote-unquote free cap that they can use. If they were to lose Patrick Ricard to the New York Giants, then I think he'd be a fine candidate to give the money to. And I could see it being, it could either be a vet minimum plus that amount. It could even be like a couple million plus an extra. I don't know if you're allowed to do it on a non-vet minimum contract, actually. But anyway, there would be a possibility and maybe some good friction created to stay with the Ravens by the fact that they could offer him some of that VSB money.
That's an interesting concept you brought up. I think I'm not sure how many players are going to follow the Harbaugh to the Giants, but that does make an interesting point with Ricard there. You'd have to think that some sort of their John Harbaugh's draft picks that are sort of up are going to follow suit with him. But Ricard's an interesting option. He's another guy who said that he wants to retire in Baltimore and stay a Raven. You don't know if that's because of Harbaugh or if that's because of the culture the Ravens have set up as a team and where they're at right now, but we'll be interesting to see kind of moving forward. Also, going back to Marlon, I think another reason why you can't use him as a pre-June 1 cut is just his value as a turnover machine. I mean, the guy is number two all-time forced fumbles for the Ravens, with Terrell Suggs being number one at 37, and Marlon Humphrey having 17, and then number three on the list is Ed Reed at 11. With a defense that struggled a lot with forcing turnovers, Marlon kind of, after Charles Tillman was using the peanut punch as kind of his coin trademark, most fumbles in his tenure was in 2020 with eight. But he also led the team in interceptions the last two seasons. In 2024, he had 6. In 2025, he had 4. I think that from a business perspective, that doesn't go understated with the value that he brings to that. And we know turnovers win football games. So from that perspective, I personally think that the Ravens should keep him. He's actually number 4 all time in Ravens interceptions with 23 behind McAllister, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed.
I'm big on Marlon's turnovers, and I think he would bring second man to the ball skills at safety that we shouldn't undervalue. Tackling concerns you mentioned early aren't any more serious than Gilman's problems. In fact, they're very similar, about a 16.5% missed tackle rate for each of them. But there is a second man of the ball skill I think he brings. More importantly, I think he reads quarterbacks better than he covers receivers at this point in his career. And we've seen some of that in terms of some off-man interceptions. And I don't mean playing off the line of scrimmage in this case, and I understand that could be confusing, but I mean he gets interception on a target of another cornerback versus another corner or another, could be a safety, whatever. And he's been very good with those the last couple of years. Had one against Tampa Bay. He's had others that have been more than a couple of his 10 interceptions the last 2 years have come of that type. And I think that's a very portable skill to safety.
Yeah, I think that's a very transferable skill. I think going back, weighing the tackling versus turnover kind of debate, you're not really sure which one you'd rather have. I think you have to look at what Malachi kind of excels at and where his faults are and where he needs to grow and how you can kind of interplay the two, being Marlon and Ardarius, if he stays around with Malachi, and what they kind of do with the interplay of the three of them and how they kind of suit each other moving forward.
Let me throw out one other thing there, because they drafted Malachi clearly to be the free safety. But part of the issue with that was it was kind of a change in fit for Starks to move from what really was more of a Hamilton role that he played at Georgia to a pure free safety role, which is what the Ravens needed him to do. And he wasn't successful as a rookie at the free safety spot in terms of traditional metrics. Yards per target, for example, he was near the bottom of the league in that category. What about the possibility of moving Starks back to a strong safety role, using Humphrey as the free safety and having Hamilton be the full-time slot corner who maintains on the field, and maybe Starks leave, or maybe Humphrey leaves when you play base defense and you only have 4 defensive backs?
That's an interesting point. I think you may, if we move Marlon Humphrey back to more of the free role, I think you may run into some of the similar issues you had with Marcus Williams on the back end with the tackling concerns. But I do hear you with moving Starks to more of a strong safety role. Personally, for the Ravens, going back on the Starks situation, if the Ravens wanted a true free safety in the draft, I liked Xavier Watts in terms of the ball hawking perspective.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough, can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S., BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This previous class, more than I liked Malachi Starks. And Xavier Watts has, I think, 5 interceptions on this season and made it a point for himself there.
He did. But the free safeties in this class, just as an aside, Makuba, who was a favorite of mine for lower on in the draft, I think he might have got drafted in the 3rd or 4th round. I had him in the 4th round. Watts, who got drafted in the 3rd round, a tremendous under, you know, value for the Falcons in terms of what they got. Those two guys were among the very worst in terms of yards per target in the whole NFL. So they did, and Andrew Makuba was over 14 yards per target this year.
Wow.
And Watts was over 11. So they were really bad. So they were worse. They were two of the guys who were below Starks when I looked at it after week 15, and Starks was over 10 yards a target. So he was 8th from the bottom, and those guys, you know, slipped in below him. So it's
interesting on the fact check. I appreciate that. But yeah, going back to thinking about moving Marlon Humphrey to more of the free safety role, I mean, second man to the ball in that situation would allow you to force more turnovers if he's back there and can read the quarterback a little bit more. Could be of interest. And Starks is more of your physical safety. And you saw him towards the end of the year coming down to more of the screenplays and reading those a lot more efficiently, which I really like to see. So if they do the flop and move Marlon to the more of the free role and Starks to more of the strong role, I think that could be of use and of interest to this team. Yeah, I think that's a great thing to go off of. And you can also interplay Starks and Ardarius Washington in that regard and kind of wean Ardarius Washington back if you extend him to a 1-year deal and kind of use the two to discern snaps with one another in that regard. And I think
you have a use for Washington, even if you bring him back. And you both have the strong safety, free safety, and slot corner position filled, is that you need a slot corner in dime situations. So the Ravens move Hamilton there to the dime, and then they need a slot corner. And Washington is a solid guy to have in there on third down. And the second very important part of this is, if you have an injury occur, you have a solution that doesn't include Hamilton moving back to the back end.
For sure. Yeah, the versatility with that possibility makes it key. I feel like the Ravens preach their secondary on being very versatile this 2025 season, and we didn't really see a lot of maneuvering around aside from moving Kyle Hamilton from the free safety role up to in the box. I felt like we were going to see a lot of Humphrey moving inside, outside, Starks moving up, down, based on what they were preaching, and was pretty shocked when we ended up cutting Jalen Ahmer Davis in the beginning of the season, right before it started, because he had a really good camp and looked really good, and then to only get rid of Jair Alexander in the middle of the season. Interesting concept with preaching versatility and sticking to your structure, but I also think that's maybe partially due to the lack of pass rush and up front.
Well, I mean, you can augment that with blitzing and whatnot, and theory sure. Safety is where you get some of those. I do like, going back to Marlon Humphrey for a second, and Marlon Humphrey is a strong safety, and he could do this at free safety too, so it's not impossible, but if he's in some sort of split field role on the back end, if you rush the quarterback with Hamilton, you have the perfect guy to jump up into that slot corner set of responsibilities who understands that position very well in terms of Humphrey. And you're the similar situation in Ravens history, I'll mention, is from 2006 when Rex Ryan had outside corners who blitzed a fair amount during the season. And when I say a fair amount, it was about 10 times. Samari Roll actually sacked Michael Vick in a game. But they had guys who would blitz from the outside. The reason they were able to do that is Dwan Landry, as a rookie that year, was able to jump in and fill effectively what is a cornerback role on the play where they would try that. So I really like, if you're talking about how do we move people around, how do we get safeties, in motion and doing things that are not expected, say, that's a good way to, like, take away the hot read from a quarterback who sees the blitz coming off the slot.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a really good point you make there. I'm pretty young, so became a Ravens fan around 2009, so not as familiar with DeJuan Landry era days, but yeah, I would love to see. I could see the interplay between Marlon Humphrey going back and forth between slot and free safety as kind of a and sending Kyle Hamilton more so on the blitz. Would definitely be something to look forward to, and which is what makes this versatile team so entertaining, because we have all these pieces that can move around. They just have to be utilized in the right way. And when there's a lack of pressure from the interior and exterior, it makes it kind of hard for those secondary pieces to do their job and excel in the way that they should be.
Let's move along to some of the other contract things in terms of what the Ravens can do. You want to talk through those?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, pre-June 1, they can cut Marlon. I think we previously mentioned this. There'd be a cap savings of $7.4 million, just like you had mentioned, but he'd incur $18 million, around $19 million in dead cap if cut before June 1.
Meaningless number.
Yeah. Absolutely, which wouldn't matter. Summer.
Yeah, we've already paid that money. It's already allocated to this year's cap. We can complain about it, but the time to complain about it was when they were restructuring the contract in the past. It's all done now.
For sure. And they restructured it back this previous year to add multiple void years in 2027, 2028, 2029. With 2027 having around $5 million in void, and then the same going for 2028 and 29 with $3.34 million in void. The other option is to have a post June 1 cut, which would incur open up around $19 million in cap, and $7 million in dead money.
Okay, so I'm just going to say you have to pay that money that is due Marlon Humphrey that has already been spent has to be paid to him in one of the next 2 years. So you get a small benefit from a post June 1 cut that they can, they have the ability to identify a player. Even if they cut him before June 1, they can identify one cut as a post June 1 cut, actually two cuts, I think. But the fact of the matter is that doesn't change your cap very much. And what it does do is it messes up the conversation entirely about cap, because people want to treat the cap as a 1 year problem. What are you talking about? Just make him a post June 1 cut, and we free up all this additional money. Well, that's not the only consideration. The Ravens need to be good in each of the next 2 years. They're going to have Lamar Jackson in both years. They're not, you know, lining up for a tank year or anything like that. So I want people talking on an oranges to oranges or apples to apples basis, and not comparing apples and oranges when we talk about a thing. So I promised I wouldn't go on a soapbox for very long, and this is really kind of like the second time during this episode I've done this, but I really hate like trying to look at the additional money. I know it's there, and they have a lot of ways they can move money from, you know, 2026 to 2027. It's not just that, it's void years, it's a number of other contract restructures they can do. All of the methods they have are available to them, and they'll use them to the best of their ability, but they're not meaningfully different total cap expenditures. And so I really don't like them talking about them as two separate options. I'll leave it to DaCosta in terms of how he wants to allocate that money from year to year.
For sure. The other thing we could look into is the possibility of the Ravens trading Marlon. We know John Harbaugh and Marlon are pretty close. We're not sure, like, what do you anticipate Marlon's trade value being?
Very low, but yeah. But he could, it's possible some team out there says, hey, $7 million for Marlon Humphrey for this year, because that's all it would be. I'd do that. And then you can trade him and get, you know, a sixth round pick, maybe. And it wouldn't be much, but it'd be something that'd be slightly better than just cutting him. And I'd look at this as a little bit similar to the Anquan Boldin situation in 2013, is they were going to cut Anquan Boldin. And instead, they got a little bit of salvage for him, which was a sixth-round pick. And people said, why are you trading, you know, Anquan Boldin for a sixth-round pick? It wasn't a matter of a trade. It was salvage value from a cut. And that's what they would be doing if they let Marlon Humphrey go. And it would have the possibility of really backfiring on them if Marlon Humphrey suddenly finds his second wind and gets over these injuries very quickly and is the kind of corner he's been for the Ravens for years.
For sure. If you don't, do you remember what we're paying? We paid Chidobe Awuzie in 25.
They paid him the vet minimum because Tennessee had an offset contract. So they offered him the vet minimum and he made about $8 million. I want to say that was Tennessee money, but it was a very shrewd pickup from DaCosta to get a guy who was truly 80% of the player at 20% of the price.
For sure. That was one of his best moves of the offseason, in my opinion, for the positional value they got. Just not sure if a team would pick up an aging Marlon Humphrey for $7 million that had a fall off would want to pick him up in terms of the trade value there. Then the other option would probably be extending Marlon Humphrey if you truly see his value as a safety and you see his future and you want him to retire a Raven and be a Ring of Honor member. That could be of use, give him a 1 to 3 year extension and spread his cap hit out a little bit more. I think that could be something of use, especially with Steve Bisciotti in the beginning of last season saying he wants to win a ring for Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley. I think that could be a thing that they could be interested in doing. I'd personally love to see it, Marlon being one of my favorite players over the last few seasons. I mean, he had a statistical fall off this previous year and particularly the outside corner role, but I would like to see them extend him and move him to that safety role. I think from a leadership perspective in the locker room and positional value, I think that could serve a lot for this team in terms of the continuity on this defense.
I'm with you entirely on that, by the way. I think that it's probably a little bit of a sales job to get Marlon Humphrey to move to safety on this 1 year deal. And he can, I mean, he doesn't really have any ability to say no because, he's under contract. I mean, if you want to go to the furthest and say, you know, Marlon, you've got two options. You can play wherever we decide to put you. We'll play on slot and dime snaps, say, or we'll move you to safety. You can play a lot more snaps and have a bigger role in the defense. Marlon's certainly going to choose that. But I don't think Marlon likes the idea of being moved to safety if he thinks it's too early. So one thing that can get him past that is an extension. The problem is it's going to be a lot lower money than his last extension. Obviously, he's not going to be making $20 million a year anymore. He'd be more like this is where it becomes really tough, an $8 million safety or a $10 million a year safety, maybe on a three-year deal in terms of AAV. I don't see the Ravens going out and signing him to a huge extension. But that also is maybe a little bit of a problem, and maybe this is a solution unto itself, is that Marlon, if he moves to safety this year and plays well, will improve his own standing around the rest of the league in terms of what he could make. But it will be as a safety, and the amounts will be less. And the Ravens, prior to free agency in 2027, can send him to the market with a contract and say, hey, look, Marlon, we understand you've been a great Raven. We want you in the Ring of Honor, and we want you back. But here's what we can pay you, and it's 3 years, $24 million, or some such. And please take it to the market. It's a starting point in any negotiations with any other team you might want to play for. And we still think you have a future here. They've done that with a number of other players, and some of them have come back to sign. And I think it's generally been very good at a minimum at generating the highest possible comp picks you can on a player. And at the maximum, you get the player back on a reasonable deal and on good terms.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think $8 to $9 million a year would be great as a safety moving to that role. I mean, basically making in 3 years what you make 1 year presently as a corner. But if Marlon truly wants to stay in Baltimore and be a Raven, I think he has to think about making that switch and making that consideration. And the Ravens can kind of use this year as a trial year. Try him at safety, see what works, see if it fits. And if it works, it works. And feel free to extend him as a safety for the upcoming year. I think his usage as a versatile defensive back, both on the outside and inside, and his overall longevity as a Raven makes you want to keep him in Baltimore for the next few years.
Now, we already talked about his trade value, and it's probably not much. You know, I may be overstating it as sixth. It may be a conditional seventh is what somebody's willing to give for Marlon Humphrey. And in that case, I don't think the Ravens are that interested in that possibility. I mean, they do it as a last resort, but I don't think they're that interested in that possibility. But one other possibility that they've used for other players, including Ronnie Stanley a couple of years ago, is going to the player and asking him to take less money this year. Do you think that's a reasonable possibility for Marlon?
I'm not really sure where he would stand in that situation. What they might do is ask him to take less money and then extend him and spread out the money over a couple of more years. So yeah, he's in Baltimore that long. But if it's in the sense of wanting to construct a roster and wanting to win now in 2026 with the new coaching regime and what they have, I think that could be an option. But I think the reduction in salary would have to come with some sort of bonus, whether a workout bonus or something to kind of, or an extension to push that down the line.
Yeah, that's a good point. So even if it's on a one-year deal, they give him some way with incentives to make back most, if not all, of that money. And based on either playing time or whatever, honestly, playing time's never really been the issue for Marlon. It's just for the first time now, quality of play is the issue. And he's missed a couple games and, you know, on a year over year basis, but he's played a lot of snaps for the Ravens over the years. And that really, the injuries is one thing he's been pretty good about avoiding.
Yeah. He's been relatively healthy. I would say 1 year was out a little bit with a foot injury, a spotty, but for the most part, he's been pretty solid.
All right, Andrew, outstanding discussing this with you. Really appreciate meeting you. The Reddit community, I would just want to say, is really good. I found a lot of people over there to talk football with who are just not only do they have interesting opinions and they're good conversationalists and whatnot, but it's a good community. I highly recommend. Is that where folks should contact you if they want to talk football with you?
Yeah, feel free to contact me on Reddit. My username is okmanufacturer9572. Feel free to message me on that directly. I do have a few posts out there about draft prospects, really interested in the draft and what would fit the Ravens. But yeah, Ken, thank you so much for having me on today. Pleasure talking with you today.
All right. Well, appreciate you, Andrew. Other folks out there, please use hashtag film study mailbag if you have questions about the Ravens. And it could be roster building. This time of year, it often is roster building or the draft or now the coaching hires, certainly. I'll try and get those in the appropriate forum, whether that means talking about on Friday morning GM. If you have a question on the position group reviews, I'll put them there. And if they are good for a 1 to 3 minute video, then I'll probably try and answer it there. Andrew, really appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.